fans, welcome in. Better's Last Stand, show number 96, coming to you in the middle of August from the beautiful Pine Room Studio in downtown Wheeling. Matt here, flying solo once more. Maybe we'll have some guest pickers on at some point, or you can check us out on the radio show, of course, on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, that is, and we talk football on there. See, you get some outside opinions from some of the other guys that used to be on the show, but I haven't had time to stop in and see us here recently. Sam will also be out today. He was going to be on, as usual, talking racing and buckos and all kinds of other things, but he's got an issue at work, and he's going to be tied up till later, so we'll miss him, but we'll have his picks on BLS_PRP. You can find those on our X page. Follow the action all week long. Everything we give out here and other stuff will be on there as well, so check that out. And I'll get used to following that one. All right, so on to the task at hand today. We have a lot of things to talk about. I'm talking baseball, golf, Olympic wrap-up, WNBA's back this weekend. European soccer starts this week. I started a little bit last week, but starting in full scale this week with the EPL. Got our AFC and NFC previews. We're doing the AFC North and the NFC North today. We got CFL Week 11. We got Aussie Rules Round 23. We got NASCAR, we got IndyCar back, so tons of stuff happening here on Better's Last Stand. Last week was not very good for us, but we were rescued by Lydia Ko. We gave that one out here on the show in plenty of time, actually two shows ago, the Olympic golf tournament for the ladies, and Lydia Ko gets the job done at 40-1. We talked about, I wrote the wrong sheet, but no, we had Celine Boutier, who was leading after the first round. She was playing really, really well, around 22-1, but Lydia Ko, the New Zealander, she's now got every single medal. She got a silver, she had a bronze, and now she finishes it off with a gold. I thought her price was really, really good at 40-1, so hopefully you cleaned up on that one. That was a great, great hit for us. And we needed it because the AFL was not pretty last week. We were 3-9 in our AFL games. I think we lost three totals by a half or 1 point, but that's the way it goes. So maybe you got a better number than I did. If so, good for you. If not, I apologize, and hopefully you had Lydia Ko. CFL, we were 4-2. We were 4-2 on our AFL futures, as we'll recap later in the show, but we hit another one as Port Adelaide got there for us to get to their 14th victory, putting them over the total for the season. So 4-2 in our AFL futures. We were 3-9 last week in the AFL, 4-2 in the CFL. And we had Lydia Ko at 40-1, which put us up units on the week at just under 30 units at plus 2980. So pretty solid there. We didn't count the men's golf in that, and that wasn't very good either. So we were 4-4 there. We had Eric Cole finish in the top seven, and Aaron Rye, of course, a guy we've given out here probably five or six times this spring and summer, and he finally wins when I kind of got off of him. I thought he was cooked, but we'll see. We'll see what can happen. FedEx Cup playoffs start this week. There's a LIV Golf tournament down at the Greenbrier. We'll talk about both of those here in just a couple of minutes. Sam had some tough luck in racing. So did I. I had Joey Logano at a nice price. We had Denny Hamlin. Sam gave out Hamlin. He finished second. The chaos ensued there, and I wish Sam was on to be able to talk about it, but Austin Dillon wrecking his way to victory. But, you know, if you look back, Logano and Hamlin have both done similar things. And I don't think it was quite as blatant as this was, but they've all been, you know, a little bit like that, rattling guys' cages, getting people loose. But Austin Dillon tried to explain it away, and I'll talk about it later on when we talk NASCAR, but his explanation was just terrible. He was trying to blame Denny Hamlin almost. I was like, come on, man. Just say you wrecked your way to get in the playoffs. But anyway, we'll talk about NASCAR later in the show. The Buccos, they haven't won since we were last here in the studio, if you can believe that. 1-11 now, I think, in their last 12 games. Just a piss-poor performance by a piss-poor organization. And like I said on the radio on Tuesday, I don't like to be the kind of guy that says I told you so. And there's plenty of times when I can, but there's plenty of times when I'm wrong too. But I knew I wasn't going to be wrong about the Pirates. They're a fraud organization led by a fraud owner, a fraud general manager, and a fraud manager. So they just don't have real players. They don't care about winning. They have one real player and another real player that's like 40 years old, I guess. Cutchin is, and basically is Twilight here. But they're an embarrassment in every sense of the word. And, you know, people bought in. they thought that trade deadline was going to solve all the problems. And they're a bunch of singles hitters, and they're just total garbage. And if you believe that the Pirates are going to change while they still have these guys leading the way, Nutting, Sherrington, Shelty, you're a fool. I'm sorry. There's no other nice way to say it. You're lost. You're lost. I'm sorry. There's fine to be optimistic, but you got to be realistic. Realistic is much more useful in life than being too optimistic. So got to be real about it. And the reality is they stink. They really have stunk all year. And now everything's went wrong with them. And you see what they really, really are. And it's just not a very good team. And they're a bunch of quitters. And they got two token guys at the deadline. De La Cruz, I mean, I'd probably bring him back because he's going to be cheap next year and see what he can do in a full year. But these guys don't develop players. They never bring the best out of anybody. And the IKF guy is a legendary singles hitter. He stranded more base runners in a week than most guys would in a month. He's just not very good. And I said that here, and I got a lot of criticism from friends and people that were discussing it with us. Colleagues, but it's I'm sorry, I think I got that one right. The Pirates pretty much done right now, buried now, seven out in the wild card, last place. I mean, it all fell apart really fast for them. So I think the surrender flag has been waved in place of the Jolly Roger, and cannot say that this surprises me even a little bit. It actually surprises me a tad just about how fast it happened. But that it happened at all, no, it doesn't surprise me one damn bit. And it shouldn't surprise you either. If you pay attention, if you watch the games, and if you know anything, and you don't listen to these stupid baseball writers in Pittsburgh who are just, they carry the water for these guys. I mean, my God, they must bring Nutting lunch every day or something. These guys never say anything negative or critical, and they're clowns for it. They're not real journalists, but then again, we don't have any of those in their news either, so... it's very fitting. All right, so frauds. Let's go through some of the pretenders here. We gave you the Giants almost a month ago now. We were on the Giants a little bit. Giants now just 3.5 out, playing really good baseball right now. They've won 7 of their last 11, and they're clicking. And Arizona Diamondbacks, another team that is playing absolutely great right now. San Diego Padres, another team we gave you right here on Better's Last Stand. Seattle Mariners as well was one of our plays in the American League. In Seattle now just 2.5 out of the wild card. But they're only, I believe, a game or a game and a half behind Houston in the division. So I think both those teams get in the American League. The Orioles will get in, even though they're a joke right now. The Yankees passed them up, actually, yesterday, but the Yankees are playing the White Sox, so... but as far as head-to-head goes, the Yankees are zero threat to the Orioles. The Orioles will beat them in a series without question. Cleveland, they've not played very well lately. The Houston Astros right now, to me, if you're going to look at futures for the American League right now, I would concentrate solely on the American League West. Now, the Mariners have had they have weird results sometimes. Like George Kirby got annihilated last night by the Tigers, but I don't think that happens going to happen very often. Wow, what a terrible play by the Colorado Rockies on defense. Watching some day baseball here. The Astros and the Mariners to me are the two most valuable teams to bet on right now. That I gave that bet out a few weeks ago about the AL West and winning the World Series. I think it's got a really good chance. I think Houston's going to all of a sudden be the front runner in the American League. It looked like they were done. But they were like the Kansas City Chiefs. They know exactly when to kick it in and when to take their game to a new level. So I expect Houston to be very, very tough out. I think Seattle's going to be a very, very tough out in the American League. Boston's still not done yet, although the Duran suspension, which is ludicrous, but we'll talk about that on a non-sports show. Boston's still in the mix here. Baltimore's going to be okay, but their pitching just won't hold up. They will be lucky to win a series, if that. They're not a World Series contender right now. I just don't see them being able to win. The Yankees are absolutely not a World Series contender. Cleveland can maybe get it rectified here and get healthy and maybe be okay, but I mean, I got no faith in Minnesota. I got a little bit of faith in Kansas City, but they're probably not quite there yet. So, to me, this boils down to the American League West. I think they have the two best teams in the American League currently, and teams that I would not want to play. They'd have pitching, and they have some big clutch hitters, Altuve, Randy Arozarena. I mean, I think there's a lot of value on Seattle and Houston to make deep runs in the American League playoffs. And then in the National League, San Diego Padres right now have turned a corner that we've been waiting for them to turn for about 3.5 years. And I don't know if they'll keep it going or not, but the momentum is starting to really, really, come together for them. The momentum is growing. It's like a snowball going down a hill, literally, like the analogy. It is really, really getting good for the San Diego Padres right now. They are now 4 clear of Atlanta in that second wild card spot, and they and the Diamondbacks both with a stranglehold on 2 of those spots. So the 2 Western divisions, again, the NL West, strong. You got the Dodgers, obviously, the Diamondbacks and Padres, total contenders. Both those teams are going to be really tough. Diamondbacks playing great baseball. Padres playing great baseball. Dodgers might get run down by these teams. Phillies struggling. Brewers are not very good. Those teams have holes. The New York Mets, we said it here a few weeks ago. Here they go. They go on their tailspin. They were in the top wild card spot a few days ago, and collapse time for them. They stink. They've stunk all year. They've had some really good breaks for them. They've had guys pitch way over their heads. They are starting to collapse, and they will not be a playoff team. I would be stunned if they were able to hang on even in the race. So the Giants will probably pass them. Braves are going to be a team that's going to be up and down because they lost so much in their lineup, and their top pitcher is out, and it's tough to overcome. They still got a solid team and a nucleus of players who know how to win, but can they get timely hits? That's what's going to come down to here down the stretch. They're not going to catch the Phillies now. I don't think they went on a somewhat of a slide. I think they've lost 7 of 10, so that's a problem. But they're hanging on to the last wild card spot. I expect the Giants to push. The Reds all of a sudden looking like they might be a team who could make some noise. They've won 3 in a row. Cardinals slumping a little bit. So I think that the National League to me boils down to one spot between Atlanta, the Giants, the Cardinals, and the maybe the Cubs and the Reds. I mean, it would have been the Pirates, but they're buried now. So whoever the second place team is in the NL Central, maybe. And then the San Francisco Giants, I think. I think the West could literally get 4 teams into the playoffs, the National League West. And that division is really good. And like I said, Texas Rangers, I didn't even mention them. They're kind of buried. They're 10.5 out, and they were the World Series champs last year. So if they ever kicked it into gear, look out. But I think Seattle and Boston will have a shot of running down the lowly Minnesota Twins, who could never win a big game since the early 90s and won't anytime in this decade, I don't think. But plenty more to come in baseball. I put up some futures last week if you want to check those out. This has been an interesting season. That's to say the least. So hopefully you jumped on a few of those futures that we have. You got really good prices if you hopped on those when we gave them out a few weeks ago right here on Bettor's Last Stand. Moving along. Let's see. Did I have any other notes on baseball? No, I don't think I did. Moving on to golf now. We'll head to golf. So we talked about Lydia Ko. We got her in at 40-1 last week, so that was pretty good. We had Eric Cole was top 7. We were 4 of our 8 guys made the cut, which is not very good. Got the FedEx St. Jude Classic this week. First round of the FedEx Cup playoffs. Top 70 guys make it, no cut. Then the top 50 guys advance to next week. The top 30 then to the Tour Championship. You got the BMW next week. So getting down to the end here for golf, and I got to be honest with you, I'm ready for it to end. This has not been one of my best golf seasons. We've had a few winners. We had the Hideki Matsuyama at a giant price way, way, way long time ago. We've had a few mixed in there. Lydia Ko helps a little bit, but a lot of bad beats and a lot of just unlucky finishes. So we're going to move on. Loaded field here this week. Obviously, top 70 guys in the FedEx Cup standings. These are all PGA guys, of course. So Rory McIlroy, Scotty Scheffler's the favorite at 4-1. Rory's now drifting up to 9, which is, like, I just can't get over it. For weeks and weeks and weeks, this guy's 4-5-1, second choice behind Scheffler. Now he's 9-1 all of a sudden in a 70-guy field. I don't understand that. Xander Schauffele, 8-1. Colin Morikawa, 12-1. Ludwig Auber, around 18-19-1. Those are your top guys, the top contenders, the guys that were most heavily bet heading into this week. I'm going with some alternative guys here. I think my top choice to win this thing is going to be Patrick Cantlay, followed by Hideki Matsuyama. They're kind of like 1A and 1B. So Cantlay at about 26-1, Matsuyama at about 29-1. Those are my top 2 guys. I think both of them set up well here. Cantley's played very well in the FedEx Cup in the past. He won it 1 year. Matsuyama's form really is coming on here late in the season. He had that win way back, and he's kind of just treaded water, but, man, he picked it up at the Olympics. He played very well. I like the momentum where he's heading. I think he would really, really like to end his season with a win to carry the momentum into a year next year where I think he can contend for a couple of majors if he can keep the ball rolling. He had some injuries. He had some equipment changes over the past few years. Look at Victor Hovland. Guy was on top of the world this time last year. He's a FedEx Cup favorite, and he's just a mess now. So I like Matsuyama. I like Cantlay. Those are my top two picks. Taylor Moore is my one favorite long shot. He's around 140-1. I think he'll play well. He needs to keep in that top 50, and I think he'll be sharp. So I think him in a top 10 or a top 20 makes a lot of sense. But 145-1, you throw a little bit on him, it'd be tough for him to win this. But you get some good value with the 20s and 10s and even 5s if you want to play those. Second tier guys, Corey Connors, I think, will grind out a nice finish here. I think he'll be a top 20. He's 36-1 to win it, but he just doesn't win, so I can't really recommend him. Ben Griffin, who played well last week, he's 144-1. I think he can be a top 20. He's not going to win, but he can be in the top 20. And then Russell Henley, who's had a great year. He's around 40-1, 45-1. He can find some spots. I think he'll grind out and be a top 10 guy here this week. Not sure he can win, but we'll see. And then two other guys that I'm not going to recommend as plays, but I would say if you get a chance on the weekend and you see Billy Horschel or Sepp Straka are, you know, six shots out, and maybe heading into Saturday or something like that, wouldn't be a bad thing to put a little bit on them. Sepp Straka around 68, Horschel around 48, 47. Horschel's played well in the FedEx Cup. I mean, he might have even won it 1 year, but he's played well. He plays well in these kind of back-to-the-wall type events. And Straka played this course very, very well last year, had some very low rounds. So maybe a shot at some guys in play over the weekend. But any of those guys, Cantlay, Matsuyama, Taylor Moore, if they're out of the contention a little bit on going into Friday or Saturday or late Friday, early Saturday, I mean, take a shot with them because Matsuyama is one of the best go low guys there is out on that tour, man. He is just, if he has a bad round or just an average round, look for him to really, really bounce it back. Very few times do you see Hideki Matsuyama play two back-to-back rounds. He is exceptional coming off of a not-so-good round. So anyway, Matsuyama and Cantlay, my top two. Taylor Moore, my long shot. And then Ben Griffin, Russell Henley, and Corey Connors. Horschel and Straka maybe in some in-play to really come and if they fall out and they can attack the course and maybe make up some spots, not necessarily to win, but to finish in the top 10 or so. But we had good numbers. And then Sungjae Im, I'm not going to recommend him either, but a lot of people are touting him this week. I just haven't liked how he's played the last 2 years. He's had some tournaments where he's just been downright terrible when he's missed the cut. So not going to play him, but I wanted to mention him because he is getting a lot of steam. Greenbrier Live Golf down at the Greenbrier this weekend. Foreclosure is not going to stop the Live golfers from heading down there. Maybe one of them will buy the course from Big Jim. Maybe he should pay his taxes. That would probably be a good idea. Terrell Hatton is my top play this week. I think he suits this course very well. It's a scoreable course. He's a guy that can play very well type of setup. 8-1 for him. DeChambeau won this last year. I think he'll be a contender too, so I can't talk anybody off that. So Bryson around 7-8-1, Hatton around 8 or 9-1, and then Louis Oosthuizen, whose game is coming to form. He was in some injuries last year and then into this year, and now he's finally starting to kick it together. This was a guy who was contending every single major a few years ago before these guys made the jump to Live. So look at him. And then Dean Burmeister, been very good to us this year. We've had some really good finishes out of Dean Burmeister, and I think another one could come here. He's 26-1. This guy can play. So the times to stop knowing who he is are over. You should be looking for Dean Burmeister on a regular basis on the Live Tour. He is a very good player, and I think he contends there. So Hatton, DeChambeau, Oosthuizen, and Burmeister. FedEx, or no, I'm sorry, I said that wrong again. That is the Live Golf at the Greenbrier FedEx St. Jude Classic going on for the PGA guys. Olympic futures and outrights. We were up almost 45 units with our Olympic futures, plus 4490. We had wins in women's golf, field hockey, beach volleyball, water polo, wrestling, 3-on-3 basketball, and women's basketball. Missed out on a tough one with France in men's basketball, 14-1. I probably should have recommended them to make the final. That would have been a better bet, knowing that the USA was going to be tough to beat. You wasted all that good capital. Hopefully you rolled France over and just did it as a rolling parlay. But it was a solid Olympics. I wouldn't call it great, but good enough. We missed out on some really close ones, and we'll be ready for the Winter Games here in a couple of years. But it was really enjoyable. I loved watching it, other than the stupid basketball teams, which we talked about on the radio and podcast. If you want to check that out at the Pine Room Studios, you can follow us on YouTube, Pine Room. PineRoomStudios.com, our website as well. We got blogs up and all kind of things that entertain you. But I don't think I'm a bad American by rooting against the American basketball team in the WNBA team of the women. They're entitled pro athletes. They don't represent me. Now, some of them I like. I got no problem with. But I'm not rooting for LeBron. I'm not rooting for Brittany Griner. They don't garner any reason for me to cheer for them as Americans. They're anti-American. So many times, especially LeBron, people were telling me Griner's had an epiphany. Well, she ought to be doing. She ought to be going out to the military then and telling them she's sorry, and going out and pumping it up and saying I made a mistake. But you'll never see that, because that would take a little bit of guts, and that's not going to happen. But anyway, Olympics, close the book on that, and we move on to the Winter Games here in a couple of years, and. I'm looking forward to those. I'm already excited about that. The Olympics are something I enjoy quite a bit, despite all the political riffraff that went with it, the stupid closing ceremony, stupid opening ceremony, and the behavior of some of our athletes. All right, WNBA cranks back up. We don't usually do a lot of that because it's a nightly thing, and I really can't give out information on games that are happening days in advance. But with the Olympic break and the All-Star break, we've had time. These lines have been set for a couple of days. They've been bought into a little bit. Thursday and Friday games, you're not going to be able to do anything on the Thursday ones, but I'll put those up on the BLS_PRP page, so check those out. Get in the habit of doing that probably every single Thursday morning. If I was you, I would probably do that. That way you'll have everything that we give out that we can't really get to you beforehand. Friday, though, we'll concentrate on those games. We got the Seattle Storm and the Atlanta Dream. I'm going to pass on that one. Storm should roll that game, but I don't know about that. It's a little tricky coming off of the Olympic break. Phoenix Mercury, who play the Chicago Sky the night before in Chicago, and then they're going to go to the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark, who will be sitting there waiting on them. Indiana's won the last four in the series, including out of Phoenix before the Olympics. Fever -3 in this game, total 175.5. Phoenix right now had three girls and maybe a girl. Go to the Olympics, and jet lag. They were there for 2 full weeks, maybe almost more than that, 17 days or something. They're coming back. They're going to Chicago to play a game, and then they got a back-to-back. That's a really tricky spot. I think they won't have any legs left. I think they're going to be tired. I don't think they'll shoot the ball well. So I really like Indiana in this game, laying to 3. Caitlin Clark factor, they're going to be energized. They've been practicing this last week, getting themselves ready to go. They didn't have anybody go to the Olympics. They are ready. And I think this game stays under 175.5. I think that and if it starts out hot early, play it under in game, because I think you may see Phoenix have a little bit of adrenaline because it's Caitlin Clark early, and then they'll falter. They're going to start to get tired. They're going to get winded. It's tough to play back-to-back off of a really, really long break. So I love the Fever, love the under 175.5. I think Indiana wins this game comfortably, and I think Phoenix really, really struggles to score. The late game, the Ion doubleheader, the Phoenix and Indiana was the first game. Connecticut and Dallas, the second game. This will be in Dallas, and Dallas is the worst team in the league visually to me. I've watched them play a few times. I had to bet on them a couple of times. I've bet against them a couple of other times. They really stink. Their guard play is atrocious. They have a couple of big girls who can body up down low, but they are really, really ugly to watch. And the Sun, very, very good team. Now, it worries me a little bit of a long layoff, actually. But I think the Sun are just going to be too good here. They're going to either get free throws down the stretch and pull away. They're laying 6.5 on the road, the total 159. We're going with the Sun on the road. I think they end up winning that game by 8 to 11 points. But I think they cover. I don't think they could possibly not cover against a really, really bad Dallas team. So we're going with Connecticut, we're going with Indiana, and we're going with under in the Indiana-Phoenix game on Friday. BLS_PRP for the other WNBA games that we'll give out for Thursday. All right, and then on to soccer. Getting soccer cranked up now. It's good to have it back now. Get something else in the morning to fill that void. Got the U.S. Open tennis coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about that probably next week. We'll get some plays on that one as we get into the hard court season there in Cincinnati this week, a lot of the big names. So exciting times as we head towards football, but there's other good stuff going on at the same exact time. European soccer kicking off. We had some of the Champions League play-in games, teams that are basically playing off to enter into the Champions League proper, where you'll be grouped into four-team group, and the top two advance out of there. So we have all that fun to look forward to. That stuff goes on all the way through the winter until next summer. So plenty of time there. Not going to do anything in Champions League yet because I want to see who gets in what groups. They don't have anything adjusted. I mean, you can get some really good prices out here right now if you have it. I have a pick. PSG 16-1 would not do that. Manchester City at 225 is just absolutely ridiculous. Liverpool 10-1 is ridiculous. So those are just too short. I'm trying to find Real Madrid 3-1. You can't bet that right now. You're better off waiting for a while on these teams to slump a little bit and have to juggle the demands of their domestic league and this, and you can get a little bit better price. Bayern Munich actually looks all right, 12-1. I wouldn't hate them. And Juventus at 33, but don't play those yet unless you really like somebody, because there's so much more to be had there. You got all the draws and to see how things turn out and then how these teams start off in their domestic leagues. England Premier League and Championship League futures. Let's talk about the Championship first. This is the league directly under the EPL, the Premier League. See those games on NBC all the time. Well, the good news is if you're a Paramount Plus subscriber and CBS Sports Network subscriber, or not necessarily subscriber, but it's on your cable, you're going to get to see a lot more of these games. They got the contract off of ESPN, which is great. The ESPN Plus was nice, but Paramount really takes it to another level. I watched a game on there yesterday. It was really, really good. So I'm excited about that. So you can check all these games out on Paramount Plus, which is just a nice thing to have. As far as the favorites go, Leeds United is the favorite. They were up in the Premier League 2 years ago, faltered in the Championship playoffs last year to go back up. They're the favorite right now. They're minus 105 to be promoted. They're 3-1 to win the league. I don't love this team. I've never been a big fan of Leeds. Not since the Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank days. I did like him, but this team just doesn't consistently perform. Some days they'll look very good, other days they don't. They have erratic players, so I don't trust them. So I would not recommend a play on Leeds. We're going to go to, I believe, either the second or third choice in most of the betting books here across the country and the world. We're going to go with Burnley. And I watched Burnley play the other day, and this team is pretty good. They were relegated out of the EPL last year, but they played very well down the stretch. Their manager now moves on. You thought that was going to be a problem, but I think this new guy they got coming in has done a nice job. He's pressed the right buttons so far. They beat a team in Luton Town the other day. At Luton Town, a very tough place to play. Beat them handily, 4-1. Looked very, very good, very, very sharp. So I look for Burnley to bank a lot of points early in the season and be at a spot where they're going to comfortably be into the playoffs, maybe the automatic qualifier spot to go back up to the Premier League. So we're going to take Burnley at plus 450 to win the league, and we're going to play them at plus 140 to be promoted back to the EPL this year. I really, really like that bet. So that's Burnley, 450 and 140 to be promoted. Another team I think will outperform is Coventry. They were solid last year. They were just hanging around the top six. I believe they either missed it or they might have lost in the first round of the playoffs. So, but a solid team. They have a guy named Ellis Sims who comes in. Top scoring bet on him, 16-1. I think that's worth the play. So take a peek at that one. They're 4-1 to be promoted. They're 16-1 to win the league. I don't know if they can win the league. That's a little bit of a stretch. And to finish in the top six, they're plus 175. I think that's doable. So Coventry, top six. Coventry to be promoted. And Ellis Sims to be the top scorer in the England Championship League. Coventry also 16-1 to win the league. I'll play that, but it's going to be a light bet. It's going to be like a Burger King bet. There's a few bucks on that one. Long shot that could contend. I'll get to that in a second. Sorry. Luton Town. I think they have a shot of going back up. There's a tough place to play in. They got a lot of experience last year. They weren't a pushover. In their own place, their own barn, they're pretty decent. So look for Luton to win a lot of home games and to scratch out enough results on the road with some of the bad teams they're going to go be playing and to have a shot of being promoted there. Plus 125 to be in the top six. I think that's a very good bet. You get plus money on them, a team that just came down from the EPL, and they're plus 320 to be promoted. I like that a lot. 12-1 to win it. Not sure they can win it, but that'll be tough. And I think they know that just getting into the top two would be good enough for them. So plus 320 on Luton Town and plus 125 for them to finish in the top six. The longer shot team, and I'm against some people in here. A lot of people think QPR is going to go down. I'm thinking maybe they got a shot. I don't know. They're 14-1 to be promoted. Seems unlikely. They're 40-1 to win it all. They have a new guy, a Slovenian guy. I think he's Slovenian. Zane Salar to lead the league in goals at 40-1. He's a newcomer. He scored a lot of goals across Europe in a smaller clubs, and he could be dangerous here. So this could be the turning point for QPR to get up into that top six. So look for them to hang around. I think QPR is a dangerous team. So we're going with Burnley, Luton, Coventry, and QPR, and those are Ellis Sims to lead the championship in scoring and Zane Salar to lead the championship in scoring at 16 and 40-1, respectively. I'll play those teams to make the top six and to be promoted, all of those teams. So I think we'll be alive to a few of those, hopefully, when we head towards the spring. Head into the EPL, Manchester City, obviously, top choice, plus 125. We don't know if they're going to be docked points. Could happen. They always seem to wiggle out of this, and they never seem to really actually get hit with anything. Could they get enough points taken away to be relegated? Pretty ridiculous that they're only 10-1. They should be like 5,000-1 to be relegated, but don't know what's going to happen with them. I'm staying away from them. I'm staying away from Liverpool. No more Jurgen Klopp. Huge, huge loss. I mean, you cannot put into words how important that is. That guy's the best manager in the world. I know a lot of people don't like him. I'm not saying I love the guy, but I respect the hell out of him. He's incredible. So I'd love to have him manage Chelsea someday. But we're going to concentrate on who I think should be the favorite, and that should probably be Arsenal. They were pretty good last year. They're young still. They got a lot of zip to them. They worry me a little bit about toughness, though. So as they get into the European schedule with the Champions League, they may wear down. So I'm a little leery. I can't bet them at plus 185, but they're a justified second choice to City. They would be the next team to ascend if City are to get docked points and Liverpool are to fall off with Klopp being gone. Chelsea, my team, they're 20-1 to win the league. I don't think they'll win the league, but I do think they return to the top four. I think they have a very good shot of doing that. They've added some good pieces. They got Cole Palmer. They had some good things working for them last year. They started to get a little bit better defensively. Their roster is just so new, and it's just amazing how much new blood is in that roster from the last 2 years and now more acquisitions. They get a nice player from Wolves recently, and it's all going to figure out. It's going to be how they can figure out how they can mesh all these guys together. I'm not sure they can. But I think I saw enough good last year. And I'm very pessimistic about them and they've been very realistic about them the last few years. They've been downright terrible. But I felt like they turned the corner because they have a player in Cole Palmer who's an assassin. He is going to be, right now, he's going to be better than Harry Kane if his career progresses. And if he can get to that level, and then he makes everyone better around him. And if you have a centerpiece like that, who can hold up play and just be an absolute assassin. You saw him in the European Championships. This guy wants the ball on his foot. He's not afraid of the moment. So many guys that Chelsea brought in have been too scared for the moment to play in a big club like that, and he is not. So that is a huge obstacle. And I think Chelsea returns with a vengeance to the top four, plus 140 to be in the top four. That is very reasonable. I think they definitely play Champions League football. Not this year, but the following year. A couple other teams to keep an eye on. Ipswich, I know I'm in the minority on this. They're probably about, they're about 14, wow, they're 1,400-1. That's absurd. But it makes sense. They're just coming up. They're not a great team. The Tractors, I think they call them. But I like them in a head-to-head matchup against Southampton. Southampton, I think, will get relegated this year. They're my pick to go down. And I think Ipswich, if you can find head-to-head markets who will finish with more points, play Ipswich. I think Ipswich has a little bit of upside. They'll have very good crowd advantage for a while, but they aren't very good. I think they can scrap together a better season than Southampton. So relegating Southampton at plus 125, playing Ipswich over Southampton. And then another matchup I like Brentford over Fulham. I think Brentford finishes with more points than Fulham. Brentford was a team full of goals. They definitely could score last year, so I think maybe they continue to get a little bit better defensively and can win even more games. They're 500-1 to win the league. They're not going to do that, but they could conceivably be in the top 10. And I like Brentford over Fulham in a matchup there. And then relegation, I also mentioned about Southampton going down at plus 125. I think AFC Bournemouth, they lost their top goal scorer, Dominic Solanke. He's going to be gone. He's out. He moved on to another club. So I think 9-1, probably a bit of a stretch. They're probably a little better than that. They can hang around, but if something goes wrong and get a guy hurt, something goes bad and they lose some tough games and the manager gets fired, things could unravel for Bournemouth. So keep an eye on them. 9-1 to be relegated, not impossible. And then Fulham, 5-1 to be relegated. This is a team, I like Craven Cottage. I think it's a cool place. I like when Fulham's up in the league, but this team has not really made the steps to advance at all when I thought they were going to do a couple years ago. But will they go down? I don't know. I think they will, but I'm always seem to be wrong on them. I was down on them, and they continue to rescue themselves late in the season. But so keep an eye on Fulham. So Fulham, Bournemouth, Southampton is my potential relegation teams, and then Brentford over Fulham in a matchup, Ipswich over Southampton in a matchup, in Chelsea to be in the top four at plus 140. Those are our EPL bets. Nice to have soccer back on the docket. We got a couple matches this weekend. I'm going to give you a couple games that I like there. Saturday action, 7:30 a.m., Leeds and West Bromwich. This is championship action. I like both teams to score in this match, and that's minus 125. That's a good number. So Leeds and West Bromwich, both teams can score goals, and I think they will in this case. So we're going both teams to score, yes, minus 125 in Leeds and West Brom. 10 a.m. Saturday morning, it'll be Cardiff City, a team that a lot of people are backing to be relegated, against Burnley, a team that I think will be on top of the league. I don't think Cardiff starts out very well here. It could be a tricky place to go on the road if they at Burnley. And Burnley, a minus 220 money line, so we're not going to play that. We're going to play Burnley minus 1.25 on the Asian handicap. So if you can get a two-goal win there, you can have a nice return with Burnley at minus 125. So jump on that. Actually, I'm sorry, minus 1.25 goals. It's plus money. It's even money, actually. So even better price there. So they win by two goals. You're getting even money on that one. So Burnley, minus the 1.25 Asian handicap against Cardiff. And then a 10 a.m. Saturday kick as well. It'll be Millwall and Bristol City. Two very futile offenses. Both of these teams very feeble up front. We'll be going with Millwall and Bristol under a two even. So if you get to two, it's a push. Get your money back. But two even plus money. You get to 2.5, it's minus 180. So I'm taking the two if I get the push. But the last like four or five times these teams have played, it's been 1-0 somebody. So I'm liking our chances there. You could also parlay those together if you wanted to, or round robin them. I would recommend. I don't like parlays very often, but round robining those three selections wouldn't be terrible. So Millwall, Bristol under two at even money. Burnley minus 1.25 on the Asian handicap at even money. And Leeds and West Bromwich, both teams to score at minus 125. Premier League action Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock kick. It'll be Fulham and Manchester United kicking off the Premier League season. B-Max, Man United in action. I like both teams to score in this game, and I'm going to recommend a parlay, something that I don't ever do. Fulham and Manchester United, minus 180. Both of those teams score at least one goal in the game. We're going to be playing that, and we're going to be putting it with the game on Saturday morning, a 10 a.m. kick. It'll be Brighton and Hove Albion against Everton. This is another interesting clash where I also like both teams to score. So we're going to go with the minus 170 there and the minus 180 in Fulham and United. Combine that together and you get around plus 150, which gives you a nice two-team parlay for plus money and a reasonable parlay. You don't want these 7-18 ones. They're pretty tricky to win. So lottery tickets, more or less. And then the other game that I like that'll play, this one single, it'll be Southampton and Newcastle. Actually, I'm not playing it single because I'm playing this as an in-game parlay. We're going to go with Newcastle to win the match at around minus 280 to $3 range. They're at home. They're going to be very tough. I don't think Southampton is very good at all. So we're going to go with Newcastle money line. We're going to go over 2.5. I think Newcastle probably scores a minimum of three here, and Southampton perhaps could get one. Being early in the year, you just don't know how the back line will hold up. So to recap, we're going with Fulham and Man United, both teams to score. We're going with Brighton and Everton, both teams to score. You can parlay those together if you don't want to lay the juice. And then you got Newcastle money line with the game over 2.5 goals as they take on Southampton on Saturday morning. All right, that'll do it for the first part of the show. We're going to come back. We're going to hit the football portion, the other kind of football. We just did round football, the good football. Now we're going to the not-so-good football, and then we're going to end with more good football as we talk AFC and NFC North after the break, as well as CFL Week 11 and Aussie Rules Round 23. Just two more to go there. Kind of sad, actually. It's Better's Last Stand. It's show number 96 from the Pine Room Studios. We'll be back in a moment.
reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in Better's Last Stand, show 96, coming to you from the Pine Room Studios here in luxurious downtown Wheeling. Brewfest coming up this week down at the waterfront. You'll probably want to go down there and check it out at Heritage Port, and should be a good event, and you'll probably see a lot of our guys down there. Before we get into the good parts of the show, highlighting other sports betting things, Pirates off to another rough start. Incredible. I have this game under, and it's already 4-0 after two innings. Just disgusting. This team is just disgusting. Jake Cronenworth, home run. Luis Arraez, double, drives in a run. It's really, really bad right now. This team, they may not win for a while. Jarrett said it the other day on the radio. They might not win for a while. I mean, in baseball, it's hard not to at least win once in a while. The White Sox win once in a while, but this team, they may end up with the worst record in the National League. I mean, they might. They're only better than Washington and Colorado, I think, and maybe Florida, but sad state of affairs. Let me remind you about the Brownie House. Want to get onto yesbrownies.com today. Order up some brownies, some whoopie pies, all the other good things that they have to offer. That's yesbrownies.com. Promo code PINEROOM for 20% off your order. Also remind you, Watchdog Football Fridays coming up. Should be a week from today. We have a week from last night. If you're listening to this on Friday, Thursday kicks off our high school football games on the Watchdog. Our new season of high school football, we'll be covering a lot of those ourselves, us Pine Room guys. So the 22nd, be over at Martins Ferry and Shadyside, I believe, is the first game. So and then next night we have Bel Air and Buckeye Local at Bel Air for the first night game. That is on a Friday, I believe. That is the 23rd. So that'll kick off high school football season. Hard to believe. You can check out Football Friday show every single week on the Watchdog. Time still to be determined on that, to be finalized. I believe we're going to adjust our time a little bit to get it up tighter to kick off. We'll have all that stuff. You'll be able to find it at the Pine Room Studios, at thewatchdognetwork.com, on the Watchdog Facebook page, on our website, thepineroomstudios.com, all the places you want to be looking for things that we do for Football Friday. So that is coming up. Hard to imagine. It's right here. We're less than a week away. All right, couple of things going on. Bad beats, obviously, if you have the Pirates, any kind of tickets, whether it was the playoffs, whether it was Skeens to win Rookie of the Year, whether it was Skeens to win the Cy Young, they've all crashed and burned. They're all coasters right now. Light them on fire, whatever you want to do with them. Sad state of affairs. And another bad beat, Skeens going to be shut down. I mean, I think that it makes sense that he will be. He's starting to show some signs of a little tiredness himself. And the games are getting pretty worthless here pretty quickly, so he could be shut down. Devastating news if you're a Pirate fan. It's just, but not surprising. Can't be surprised. DK reversed course from last week. We were talking about the tax, the surcharge, so much bad publicity. All the rivals saying there's no chance they were going to do it, and they caved in, and they're going back to the regular way, and they're not going to tax you anymore. Did they lose business because of it? Probably did. Circo Sports opens a temporary book at Kentucky Downs, which is a really good summer grass track, very weird track for horses. It's like some hills, and it's very weird. You get some big prices there if you like Kentucky Downs, if you like horse racing on the grass. It's just a track unlike any other. There's no other track that's even close to it. But great setup there. Circa got a temporary sports book. They're building a permanent structure. Circa does everything perfect. Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, those guys are absolute heroes to the sports betting world. They do everything the right way, and any property they're involved with is going to be top notch. So best of luck to them. Enjoy it out in Kentucky Downs. That'll be really, really cool. New York, get this, they've taken in $21 billion in the last calendar year, if you can believe that. That is absolutely impossible to believe, like just mind-blowing. $21 billion, that is just staggering stuff in New York, and expect that to continue to grow. The Bears have 4 times the win total bets over any other team in the NFL on their win total. Bears taking a lot of steam with Caleb Williams. It was a good performance by him, but it's preseason. Kenny Pickett looked good last year. Remember that. NFL preseason dogs in week one, 10-6. 10-6. And the unders, 12-4. So back to the under trend. Last year, it kind of ticked up to the overs. 2 years ago, it was unders. I think the first 13 games or something were under. A lot of bad teams, a lot of bad defenses. Probably need to retract a few teams, to be honest with you. Top three betting choices last week go 0-3. Browns minus 5.5, Bills minus 3, and the Raiders minus 3 as well. So all those no good last week if you had those. J.J. McCarthy, he's now out for the season. It looks like meniscus tear there, so sad to see. I was very high on him. I thought if the Vikings used him, they could maybe be decent this year, but they're going to be in a rebuild year, and Sam Darnold will get him there. I guess it's a bridge year, they like to call it, and I do think McCarthy's going to be good. I really, really like the guy, and we'll see. Will Brandon Ayuk deal ever get done? It looks like he's going to stay with the 49ers now. On the radio yesterday, it looked like it broke that he was going to be with the Steelers. Well, something fell through there. Steelers just don't have what they need to give up. So Ayuk looks to be remaining with the, I said the Chargers, the 49ers. BMAC will be happy about that. So we'll keep you posted on that one. Ohio State is the most best bet team to win the college football playoff at 4-1. No surprise there. Loaded talent, them and Georgia, two best teams. Quarterback play will be the difference. Now, Georgia does have the better quarterback. Beck really got good by the end of last year. Still not certain about this guy coming in from Kansas State or wherever he's from. He wasn't very good in the Big 12, so we'll see. But Ohio State loaded everywhere else. Steam on Ole Miss, too, to win the college football playoff at 14-1. A lot of steam on them to make it as well. I think making it's probably not going to be too difficult for them. They get, you know, third best record in the SEC. They're probably going to get in. So we'll keep an eye on those developments as we get closer. All right, let's hit on some college football while we're here. It's time for the Big Ten. We're going to talk some Big Ten this week. I'm just going to give you my bets, what I like. And now this is a conference to me that I think Ohio State is going to be obviously the best team. They have one tricky game at Oregon. They have another tricky game at Penn State. Now, James Franklin's never won a big game ever, so I don't think he's going to be too much of a threat. I think they'll win that game for sure. They're going to be at least a field goal favorite. At Oregon, though, I think is a game they might have trouble with. Oregon is going to be very, very good. They got loaded transfers. They have an experienced group coming back that was good last year. And I think Dan Lanning is a pretty good coach. He's a little unbuttoned for me, which cost him against Washington. And if you remember, we were heavy, heavy on Washington in the Pac-12 championship game. And I felt very good about that game. Washington catching 10, and they dominated the game, although they did let it get away almost late, which scared me. But nonetheless, I think Oregon's a serious contender. I think they're the most likely to be able to beat Ohio State, but can they win the rest of their games? That's the question. Now, they start out, they got to go, or they home against Idaho, home against Boise. You think they'll win that? They go to Corvallis in a rivalry game. Now, Corvallis is a little bit decimated. They've lost a lot of good players. They lost their coach. So they'll probably win that game. They'll probably beat UCLA. They're going to beat Michigan State. Then they're going to play Ohio State. We'll see. Purdue they'll beat. Illinois they'll beat. At Michigan, usually not an easy place to play, the Big House. Can Michigan be decent by then? I don't know. A lot of turmoil in that program right now. But let's say they win that game. And they play Maryland at home. They'll win that game. And Wisconsin could be a problem for them. Now, I was very, very low on Wisconsin last year when a lot of people were high, but I'm a little higher on them this year. They're revamping their offense, which is really interesting to me. This has always been a run giant fullback and a guy with a neck roll and Ron Dane and like all these big running backs, but not anymore. And then they finish up at Washington. So I want to say Oregon will probably lose one or two, but I think they're a playoff team. I think the Big Ten can get 3 teams in here. Ohio State's going to get in for sure. They would have to have the wheels completely fall off. There's only 2 possible games they could lose. And, well, I guess the Michigan game, you can never count that one out. So 3, but even a 3-loss team, I think they'll get in for sure. Penn State's a team that's going to play West Virginia to start the season. If they get by them, which they should, they play BG, Kent, Illinois, UCLA all in a row. Those are all wins. They're at USC. That could be a little bit tricky, but Franklin, since it's not going to be too big of a game, and USC is even more inconsistent than they are, I think they'll be able to get the job done. At Wisconsin, again, will be an issue for them. They play Ohio State. They'll lose that game. Then they get Washington at home. I think they'll be able to win that. Then they're at Purdue, at Minnesota, and then Maryland. I think they win all those. I think two losses probably for Penn State, maybe just one. So I think they're a playoff team. So bottom line is, if you want to look for some of those markets about teams getting into the playoffs, I think all three of those teams make sense. The conference to get three teams in, I think that makes sense. I think they're live for three teams without question. My best bets in the Big Ten, I like Wisconsin over 6.5 wins. I know last year, like I said, everybody I knew was on Wisconsin. Everybody loved them. But this year, I think the schedule sets up pretty decent for them. Minus the game against Alabama, but they play them at home. So I think that's at home. I don't think it's a neutral, which is interesting. And Alabama's got a new coach, so you never know. Western Michigan, South Dakota most likely wins. They play Bama. We'll even say that's a loss. Then they go to USC. We'll even say that's a loss. But then they get Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern before they play Penn State and at Iowa. But I think they win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think they win a minimum of 7 games, and that's not counting a potential upset. Now, they got to play Oregon, and they got to play Penn State, so that's never easy. And I think Nebraska might be decent. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy, not one of my best plays, but I'm going to go with Wisconsin over 6.5. I'm also leaning Nebraska over their win total of 7. I've kind of calmed a little bit on that one. I don't really love that as much as I did a few weeks ago. They got UTEP, Colorado, Northern Iowa, Illinois, Purdue. Potentially could start 5-0. Then they play Rutgers. This would be a tough game. At Indiana, that should be a win. They're at Ohio State. They'll lose. UCLA, at home, they can win that game. At USC, probably a loss. Home against Wisconsin, coin flip. And then at Iowa. So I don't love it as much as I used to a few weeks ago, but we're going to lean. That's a lean, a semi-strong lean on Nebraska over the 7. Rutgers over 6. This has got a lot of steam. And I wish I would have given this one out earlier, because now it's up to 6.5 at some spots. But I like Rutgers. I think they're well coached. And Shiano gets a lot out of the team. They're really bad on offense. Howard, Akron to start the year, 2 wins. And they go to Tech, Virginia Tech, that is. That'll be tricky. Washington at home. They get UCLA at home. They go to Nebraska. They get Minnesota at home. They get Illinois at home. So I thought Minnesota, Illinois, Maryland, Michigan State to end the year. All 4 winnable games for Rutgers. Absolutely winnable games for them. So that's only 4. You tack on Howard and Akron, that already gets you to 6. So then they only need to be able to beat Nebraska, Wisconsin, or UCLA to get you to 7, and that is definitely doable. So we're on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. That was Jubb's big win total he gave him out last year. I'm going to follow in his footsteps. He is the football guru. I'm just trying to keep up. We'll go with Rutgers over 6. Then Minnesota over 5. I know it's weird you got all these overs, but this is a very big league. Remember, it's no longer just 10 teams. I think Minnesota's a little undervalued right now at 5. You can find some 4.5s I found out there too. A little bit of juice, but 4.5, 5. So I think they get the 5 wins for sure. They open up at North Carolina at home. I think they can win that game. I think they'll beat Rhode Island. I think they'll beat Nevada. I think that Minnesota could start out P.J. Fleck and the Boat Rowers. They could be 3-0 before they take on Iowa at home, which could be a sneaky game. Iowa's offense stinks. You never know. That could be a 10-7, and Minnesota scores late to win the game 13-10. You don't know. Anything can happen here in the Big Ten. But I like that. I like the way it sets up for them. I think they get 3 wins to start the year. I think they have a chance to beat UCLA, Maryland, and Illinois. So there's 3 more wins. So I think they've got a really, really good shot at getting to 6, and we'll be going with Minnesota over the 5 or 5.5. And then my best bet of the Big Ten season, another over. I know it's hard to imagine. You can keep getting these overs. And let me see. I think I lost the page. It is going to be the Indiana Hoosiers, if I can find them. Oh, here they are. Indiana Hoosiers. We're going over the 4. Bear with me. I got too many papers here, and I'm losing my mind. All right. Indiana over 5. They're another 5 even right now in Indiana. I saw some 4.5s as well. But I would recommend if you can get to 5, that's fine. 4.5 is even better. They got FIU. They're going to be favored in that game. They're going to win it. Western Illinois, they're going to be favored in that game. They're going to win. So they're going to already be 2-0. Then they go to UCLA. Can they win that game? Probably. It's going to be tough, but you never know. Charlotte at home, they're going to be favored in that game. So even if you count UCLA as a loss, they're 3-1 to start the season in games they're favored in. Then they play Maryland at home, very winnable game. They play at Northwestern, very winnable game. Then they got Nebraska and Washington both at home. maybe win one of those. And then they go to Michigan State, very winnable game. And then they end the year at home against Purdue, another winnable game. So I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I counted 10 winnable games on Indiana's schedule. The only games that aren't winnable, Michigan and Ohio State. I think they got a really gift, a good gift here. They don't have to play Oregon. They don't have to play Penn State. They don't have to play Oregon or Penn State. That's a gift right there. So I think Indiana's schedule sets up very, very well for them to win 5 or 6 games and to be a bowl-eligible team. So we're going with the Hoosiers over. That is our Big Ten best bet of the year here on the 96th episode of Bettor's Last Stand. Now we're going to shift over to pro football. We're going to talk about the AFC and NFC Northern divisions. We'll start in the AFC. Obviously, strong ties here for me with the Ravens and the Browns, both teams that I like. I think the Ravens are going to be a little bit down. They are the favorite to win this division. I don't know. I think it's, if you have a gut feeling on this, you just go with it. But I don't think the Ravens are going to be as good as they were last year. Derrick Henry comes into the fold. The defense lost a significant few players, definitely did, and I don't know if they'll be able to recover from that, but we'll see. I don't think the Ravens are going to be bad. I think they'll be a playoff team, but can they win 11 games? That's going to be tricky, so I'm going to have no lean on them. I think they win 9, 10, 11, somewhere in there, so I can't recommend anything over that. The Browns, small lean to the under. I think they're just a little bit on the teeter-totter for me. They could have things go very well or go very bad. It's just typical Cleveland Browns, though. They're just too much uncertainty. So lean to the under there, but no recommendation on the 8.5 over under for them. And as you know, Cincinnati under 10.5. I think Cincinnati wins maybe 7 tops. And I know everybody yells at me for this, but I was right last year, and I'm pretty sure I'll be right again this year. But we'll see. They can play this back for me and yell at me and tell me I'm wrong, which happens plenty of times. But I think they could lose week 1 against New England. They could definitely lose against Kansas City on the road. Week 3, Washington. I'm not guaranteeing they win that game. Carolina probably win that game at Baltimore. Baltimore at home. I don't know how they can even be favored in that game, but that could be a loss. They go to the Giants and then to the Browns back-to-back weeks. I think they'll lose one of those games. Then they play Philadelphia. That's definitely a game they're going to be a dog in. They're going to play the Raiders, which they probably should win that. Then they go to Baltimore, loss. To the Chargers will be a loss. They play the Steelers, which will probably be a loss. They go to Dallas, which will probably be a loss. Then they finally play a team they can beat, Tennessee. Then they got Cleveland, tough one. Denver, they'll win that one. Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh, no chance. So I had them winning Denver, Tennessee, Las Vegas, that's 3. The Giants is 4. Carolina is 5. And then either Washington or New England, 5 or 6 or 6 or 7. And that's not going to get the job done. I don't think this team will beat any of those good teams. They don't play well against the Browns. They may end up beating the Chiefs because they always seem to get up for that game somehow. The Chiefs gift wrapped them a Super Bowl trip a few years ago, and that's why everybody thinks this team's good. But I have no faith in Burrow. I am heavy, heavy, heavy on Bengals under 10.5. I think that's an absolute lock. And I think they'll be lucky to get to 7 wins. And then my best bet in the division, yeah, that's not even the best bet, is the Steelers over 8.5. I think they win 9 games minimum here. I think they could win up to 11. They are my pick to win the division, as you know. I know this Brandon Ayuk thing hovering over them worries me a tad. Russell Wilson getting banged up worries me a little bit. Their receiving group, I kept waiting for them to make a move. They never did. So all that stuff concerns me. But I still think the Steelers, because of the Ravens taking a step backwards, the Browns being the Browns, and the Bengals just downright not very good. They lost one of their linemen with a torn pec too, which is going to be a huge problem. I think it was their tackle. So I just don't think the Bengals are well coached. I don't think their quarterback's as good as everybody else does, and I think their roster stinks. So Bengals finish last, Steelers finish first, and then the Browns and the Ravens fight it out for second and third. That's how the AFC North goes. In my mind, if you have thoughts, feel free. Email the show, tweet at us, whatever you want to do. Contact at the Pine Room Podcast or go on the Pine Room Studios website and let us know what you think about the AFC North, everybody's favorite division. Couple things in preseason football before we head over to the AFL. These line moves, as I told you last week, this is nuts. So 10 and 6, Where did I wrote down something and I, darn it. I don't think I put it on my, oh yeah, I did. Preseason line moves of 1.5 points or more last week. 1-9. That's the very thing I was talking to people about watching out for those. Normally, those are the way to be on. That's what you want to be on. That's the side to be on, but not the case last week. So there's two schools of thought. Either that's going to reverse course or it's going to stay the same. And if you want to play them blind, I don't always recommend that, but you know, want to throw them together in a round robin, shoot for it. So here's the games that have moved already. Thursday night game, it's after the fact. Philadelphia started off -2.5. Now New England is favored by 2.5. So that's a 4-point swing, goes through the number 0, which is technically a 5-point swing. So then you got Atlanta on Saturday afternoon, the very first game. Atlanta opened -2. It's now down to the Ravens -1. So there's a 4-point move there. Houston -5.5. Now down to Houston -3. And then even 2.5 before I came on, I saw. Cincinnati at the Bears. The Bears opened -3. Now up to 6.5. So that would say take Cincinnati. Going back through these, that would mean you play Atlanta, you play the Giants, you play Cincinnati. Moving on to another game that had a big move. Detroit at Kansas City. Kansas City opened 3.5. Now up to 6.5. If it's last week, play Detroit. Then you skip a few games down to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh opened -2 against Buffalo. Now up to 4.5. That means play Buffalo. Tennessee -2.5. Down to a pick, which is quite interesting there. So that means you play. Actually, that would mean you play Tennessee in that situation. All right, Dallas and the Raiders. Raiders opened 3.5, now up to 7. So let's go with Dallas in that game. And then on Sunday, San Francisco opens up 2.5. Send the Saints now to 2.5. So you come back and you bet Frisco there. And then you play Denver -3.5 up to 7. So that means you play Green Bay. So line moves against the line. So if you're moving it, you're going -2 for Atlanta. Just recapping these if you got confused about what I was saying. I don't know. I think I said it very clearly. So Atlanta -2. The line has moved towards Baltimore. So then you come back and you play Atlanta +1. Houston -5.5. That's went down to -3, meaning the line is moving towards the Giants. So then you move and you play the Texans. Bears -3 up to 6.5. You play the Bengals as the Bears increase by 3.5 points. Kansas City 3.5 to 6.5. You play the Lions. Pittsburgh 2 to 4.5. You play the Bills. Tennessee 2.5 to pick. So it opens with Tennessee being favored, moves towards Seattle. So then you get back on Tennessee at pick. And then the Raiders 3.5 to 7. Play Dallas +7. San Francisco 2.5 to the Saints -2.5. So the move towards the Saints. You come back and play Frisco. And then Denver 3.5 up to 7. And then you would play the Packers +7. If you want to do those. If not, you do the reverse on all of them. I can't tell you what's going to happen this week. What I can tell you is we got Mountain East Futures posted over at Wheeling Island Hotel Casino Racetrack Sportsbook. Charleston installed as a +225 favorite, followed by Frostburg at 3-1. UNC Pembroke at +450. Fairmont State +750. Wheeling University at 15-1, Glenville at 17-1, West Virginia State 27-1, West Liberty 38-1, Concord 50-1, and West Virginia Wesleyan 175-1 to win the league. It should probably be about 5,000-1, but I can't take that. I couldn't put that down. It could be a problem if somehow, you never know about these teams, but most likely, Wesleyan should be about 5,000-1. We also got regular season win totals. You can check those out as well. Charleston is 9.5. Frostburg, 8.5. Pembroke, 7.5. Fairmont, 6.5. Wheeling, 6.5. Glenville, 5.5. West Virginia State, 5.5. West Liberty, 4.5. Concord, 3.5. And Wesleyan, 1.5. Those juiced accordingly. Again, check them out at Wheeling Island Hotel Casino Racetrack. Moving on to Canadian football, nothing on Thursday's game because you won't have it. We'll have Saskatchewan and Montreal, 9 o'clock Friday night. The Rough Riders of Saskatchewan will host the Montreal Alouettes, who have kind of separated themselves a few weeks ago, said I didn't know who was the best team in the league. I think Montreal looking to be that way. They're 2.5-point favorite on the road, total 51, but we're going to go with the Rough Riders. I think that may get to a field goal. We're going to take Saskatchewan at home. Saturday's game, Edmonton and Hamilton. This is a 7 o'clock kick. Edmonton now. Two wins in a row, if you can believe it. They ran into some good fortune here in the last couple of weeks, including a team that had their quarterback out. They'll be a 1.5-point favorite on the road, total 53. I can't back the Elks. I didn't back them last week. I can't back them here. But we're going to go over the 53 there as Edmonton heads to Hamilton. And then Sunday, 7 o'clock kick, Winnipeg at BC. It'll be the Blue Bombers of Winnipeg, -3.5 on the road, total 47. BC's quarterback, they've lost three in a row. They're without their quarterback, I think, again this week, so check the injury report there. But we're going to go under 47. Their offense really struggled even the last 2 weeks. So BC and Winnipeg under. Saskatchewan plus the points on Friday, and then Edmonton and Hamilton over on Saturday. Those are our CFL best bets of the week. Hopefully we keep rolling there. We were 4-2 on those. We were not very good in AFL last week, but that's okay. We will bounce back there. I feel pretty good about it. We're down to 2 weeks left in the regular season, this week and next week. Top eight teams make what they call the finals, which is the playoffs. So you have teams on the cusp trying to play their way in here. The top five teams, I think, are locked into place. I think Sydney is set. I think Port Adelaide, who we have a bet to be in the top four, is set after their win. GWS with a great win last week. They're third. I think they're locked in. I think Geelong is locked in. Fourth place, we have a bet on them to finish in the top four. So those are a couple pending futures that we're looking pretty good on. And then the fifth place team, Brisbane, who lost finally last week after winning 9 in a row. Surprising, they didn't play well. But GWS was very, very hot last week, and they took out Brisbane. They ended up their long winning streak, but I think Brisbane is safely in. Something major would have to happen for them not to get in at 13-7-1, and been playing very hot lately. So let's go and start it off Friday, 5:40 a.m., the Essendon Bombers and the Sydney Swans. Sydney -9.5, total 174.5. You won't be able to get this game, but it'll be on our Twitter page, BLS_PRP, or X, I guess it's called now, since Elon owns it. Essendon really needs this. They're 11-9-1. They absolutely need to win. Sydney has been slumping. They did win last week. I'm going to go with Essendon here. I'm going to go against the grain and take the Bombers plus the 9.5 in desperation mode that they maybe can somehow pull this out. It's going to be tough. 11:45 on Friday night, it'll be the Melbourne Demons and the Gold Coast Suns, two teams that are out of contention, both 10-11. There's no possible way mathematically that they could get in. We're going to go under 167.5 in that one. I think they'll be unenthusiastic about that one. Also, 11:45 Friday evening, it'll be Fremantle sitting in sixth place right now against GWS, safely in third place off of a huge win against Brisbane. It'll be GWS -10.5. I think they get the job done here. I think they're just better than Fremantle. They're playing really, really well right now. The Giants coming on hard. They did this last year as well, so they're playing great, great footy. I like the Giants -10.5 in that game against Frio, but Frio is desperate, so you never know how a desperate team will perform. Brisbane looking to get back on it against Collingwood, who's in 11th right now. They're defending champions, and they're in danger. If they lose this game, they're out. 167.5 is the total. Brisbane is -10.5 in the game. I don't want to play that. I think Collingwood is going to be like a wounded animal here, so I expect points. I think Brisbane will score. Collingwood's going to have no choice, but their defense has been so bad. We're going over 167.5. Collingwood and Brisbane. Saturday morning, 5:30 a.m., Port Adelaide hosts Adelaide, a battle of Adelaide. This is a big rivalry game as they take on the Crows. Port -13.5, total 170.5. We'll go with Port. They are in second place in the league. Potentially, they could win the league here. So this game means a lot to them. It's a derby, local derby. They're playing the 15th place team, and they want to hammer Adelaide. These games tend to play close, but we're going with Port. The Power -13.5 in the rivalry game. Geelong at St. Kilda. Geelong in fourth spot right now. Should be safely in the finals. St. Kilda at 14th. They are out there 9-12. I like this game. I like Geelong -9.5, and I like the game under 164.5. St. Kilda, just a very feeble offense. North Melbourne let us down last week. They get knocked out by West Coast in a game we had to have them win to keep that West Coast win total under 4.5. Didn't happen. They'll take on Western. Western now in seventh spot. Need this game badly. Laying 45 here at home. We're going to take Western -45 and over the 177.5. North Melbourne probably packing it in for the year. Richmond, who we cigar smoked our way to the under in that one. 9 was their posted win total. They've won two games. They're the worst team in the league. They're 2-19. They take on the 12-9 Hawthorne Hawks, who are possibly going to play finals football for the first time in a long while. They're laying 42.5 here. I can't lay that many. We're going to go 170.5. We're going under the total of 170.5 in Richmond and Hawthorne. And then at 2:40 a.m. on Sunday morning or late Saturday night, it'll be the Carlton Blues, the ninth place team at 12-9, taking on the West Coast Eagles off a win over the Kangaroos last week. We're going to go with Carlton minus the half, which is weird. They're actually plus a half in some spots. So that worries me a tad. I don't know what's up with that line. Carlton should be a heavy favorite here in a game they have to have. In ninth spot, they're playing for finals football. They've got to win this game. I just can't believe they're a dog, or they even started out to being a dog here to West Coast. That is a worry to me. I'm going to have to check the injury reports. But it didn't look like anything that serious was happening. So Carlton minus the points. If they're catching points, whatever, money line, they got to have it. And over 164.5 in that game. So recapping, we're going Essendon in the game on Thursday, plus the points. We're going with Melbourne and Gold Coast under 167.5. We're going GWS minus 10.5. We're going Collingwood and Brisbane over 167.5. We're going Port Adelaide minus 13.5. We're going Geelong minus 9.5. And under 164.5, we're going Western Bulldogs minus 45.5 and over 177.5. We're going Richmond and Hawthorne under 170.5, and we're going Carlton minus or plus the points. Money line is a safe bet there, and over 164.5. We have two top four finishes pending right now. We get wins this week. We're set there with Port and Geelong, both teams favored. We cash with Sydney. We cash with Port over. We cash with Richmond under. We cash with Geelong over. Two losses. Crows let us down. And West Coast got the job done against North Melbourne last week, so we're 4-2, looking to go 6-2 on our futures. Our top five ladder picks, we've hit four or five of those as well. So far, not too bad. All right, that'll do it for the football roundup here on Bettors Last Stand Show 96. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back. Unfortunately, Sam can't join us today, but we're going to run through NASCAR and Indy Racing, which returns this weekend. Don't go anywhere. It's Bettors Last Stand.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettors Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in Bettors Last Stand, show number 96, coming to you from the Pine Room Studios. Again, jump on yesbrownies.com today. That is the Brownie House, best brownies ever. Pine Room is the code you want, 20% off your order. Don't forget about our shows on the Watchdog each and every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. In the coming days, we'll have our Football Friday shows loaded with action, and our Tuesday show, which is a little bit of everything, a cornucopia of fun on a Tuesday. So join us there, watchdognetwork.com. You can listen to all those high school games we're going to have. You'll be able to check the schedule out there of what we're broadcasting, all the Central games, all the Wheeling Park games. And we're ready to go. We got our Duggar's Saucy Spread Challenge, year number two. See if Kayleen can defend her championship as we make lines on the high school games and have those posted. And we'll have those on the website this year. So lots of ways you can find that stuff out. And you can follow us on BLS underscore PRP. Follow the Pine Room, the whole Pine Room operation at the Pine Room Studios on Instagram, Facebook, X, all those types of social medias. And then you got the PineRoomStudios.com, our new website's got blogs up there. We do three of those a week, so we're loading on that stuff. Tons of content coming your way. And then at the Pine Room Studios on the YouTube page, you can find out all the shows, Bettors Last Stand, Soup and Stuff, regular podcasts, radio rewinds, all the things that we've done in the Pine Room. Brewfest coming up this week. If you haven't got your tickets, get on that one right now. That's Mountaineer Brewfest. It's a heck of a time. Good bands, good beer, good fun. So head on down to Heritage Port this weekend. I guess it's Saturday. There's just one day, but get over there. It'll be a wonderful afternoon and evening. All right, Buckos down 8-0, so things looking great for my under there. Thanks a lot, Pirates. I thought maybe Mitch Keller they say you need a stopper. Mitch was going to be the stopper today. He's going to stop the losing streak. Yeah, well, he's not stopped much of anything so far. All right, racing time here quickly. Sam the man, Steel City Sam, we'll call him today. He can't make it with us. I know he had thoughts on the Austin Dillon win. If you didn't see this last week, you need to go on to X and find some of the stuff that went on there between Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon basically sideswiped both guys, wrecked Logano, came down the track to wreck Hamlin, who was then passing him as he's wrecking Logano, takes them both out, wins the race. Logano's furious. Hamlin's furious. Their crew chiefs are furious. Their pit crews are furious. Everybody's pissed off. Austin Dillon makes his way into the playoffs with a win in the Bass Pro Shops Chevrolet. Definitely, blatantly wrecked at both guys. But NASCAR doesn't have good rules on this stuff. And I know Hamlin and Logano, as I talked about earlier, they've done similar things, but not this blatant. They make it look a little bit less obvious. The number three did not. He kind of pretended he was Dale Earnhardt and just wrecked guys on purpose, which Dale Earnhardt didn't even do it that, obviously. And then some of the things Austin Dillon was explaining to Dale Earnhardt Jr., which made no sense to me, about Denny Hamlin coming into him, and just lunacy. Anyway, you be the judge of it. I'm not saying he should be stripped of the win. I'd probably dock him some points, and I'd probably need to get a rule in there that you can't do this. You just can't be doing this. This opens the floodgates now. Guys like Ross Chastain, who is usually the villain, now he's like, shit, I got a win to get in the playoffs. I'm going to have to do this next week. So be on the lookout. Austin Dillon, look out especially. He is going to get wrecked. If you can find him finishing position like over 20 or something, or over 25, anything you can find on feeding Austin Dillon, I would recommend. Matchups, he's going to get spun by somebody on the JGR team or the Penske team, even if it's not Logano, even if it's not Hamlin. People aren't going to stand for that kind of stuff. And you can follow it on X. You can see all the things that went on and how frustrated those teams were. But Austin Dillon gets the job done, much at our expense. Denny Hamlin was picked by Sam. I had Logano, so we had the two race winners. Now, Dillon, I will say, he was going to win that race prior to a caution coming out with a couple laps left, and it went to overtime. But that doesn't excuse it. They all pitted, and he comes out. That doesn't make it okay. He did have a good car at one point, so I got to give him credit there. But we'll see what happens. We head to Michigan this week for the Firekeepers Casino 400. Michigan, normally a pretty boring track, but with the new cars, it's been a little bit better. There's been a lot more passing than in past years, and I think that you may see that happen a little bit here. Hopefully it carries over a tad, because Michigan could be very, very boring in past years, but as I said, it seems to be a little better with the new cars. Chris Buescher won this race last year, and then 2 years ago, it was Kevin Harvick. Bubba Wallace with a second-place finish. So some of the top contenders here: Denny Hamlin 6-1, Brian Blaney 6.50, Kyle Larson 5-1, Tyler Reddick 7-1. I think the RFK guys, that is Buescher and Keselowski, both be strong. Keselowski's 9-1. I was gonna pick him, but I thought his price was a little low. If I'm gonna have to pick an RFK guy, I'm gonna take the guy with the better odds, and I'm gonna take Buescher at 16-1. But he's not gonna be my top pick. I think Ty Gibbs is a contender here at 16-1. Longer shot guys, I think Eric Jones could run in the top 10. I think Daniel Suarez at 50-1 could be in contention as well. He's led some laps here, an extended period where he's led some laps. So I think Suarez could be interesting. Ross Chastain's led some laps here, but normally has not finished well here, which is kind of odd. Truex has been solid. Larson's been solid. Can't talk anybody off of either one of those guys. Truex with a second-place finish here last year. He was sixth 2 years ago. But I landed on a really tough spot here. I'm either going to go with Elliott or Logano. Those were the two. Logano bouncing back off of that chaos last week worries me a tad, so I'm probably not going to give him as my top play. My top play is going to end up being Chase Elliott, 12-1. He's ran well here in the past. I have no issues with him at all. He's led a lot of laps here in the past. I think he's a guy that is kind of getting forgotten about a little bit, and I think he's going to be dangerous here. I know it hasn't translated in the new car to how good he was previously at this track, but I think he's in play this week at 12-1. So we'll be going with Chase Elliott as our top pick. We're going to go with Logano as our second choice. Then we go with the RFK boys, Buescher and Keselowski, and then Ty Gibbs, Eric Jones, and Suarez will be our long shot plays. Sam's picks will be coming via X this weekend, BLS_PRP. He's going to get me what he likes. I know he'll be disappointed to have missed the discussion, but we'll get his picks and get those posted as soon as possible. So Firekeepers 400 at Michigan. That's 2:30 green flag on Sunday. All right, jumping over to the Indy cars here. Not a whole lot of things I can give you here. We're at the Worldwide Technology at Gateway. This is in Madison, Illinois. Defending champion is Scott Dixon for the Chip Ganassi team. He led 123 laps, and the prior winner was Joseph Newgarden for Roger Penske. These guys have been off for a few weeks. They only got a couple of weeks left in their season. Newgarden going to be tough to beat here. He did have a bad run, though, last time. He had some contact. He led 98 laps in the race and ended up finishing 25th. But like I say, he's won three times here and won 2 years ago here. David Malakas, he has finished second and third here the last 2 years. So he hadn't led any laps. Actually, he led four the 1 year, but he hasn't done a whole lot of lap leading, but yet still in the top 10 and top five back-to-back seasons. So that can't be overlooked. My choice, though, is going to be Scott McLaughlin. He is an exceptional driver. I think he finally gets into victory lane here. He has led some laps here. He's been very strong. He finished fifth here last year. He finished third the year before that. I like him. I'm not sure what kind of number I'll get on him. 6-7-1, I'm hoping. But IndyCar doesn't post these odds out until later in the weekend after they see what the cars are set up in their first round of practice. And then Pato O'Ward will be my second choice there. He finished second last year and fourth the year before that. He led 10 laps 2 years ago. He led 18 last year in his era McLaren. I think he'll be a strong contender as well. So we're going to go with Scott McLaughlin and Pato O'Ward at Worldwide Tech at Gateway in Madison, Illinois. Sam will have plays on those as well, so you can check those out, BLS_PRP. I wish I was here to talk, or he wish he was here to talk Buckos in racing, get his thoughts on some of those racers. But duty calls, and he actually might be on a DL too. He's got an elbow issue, he said, so we'll see. Hopefully he gets that worked out, and he'll be back with us next week. But that'll do it for us on Better's Last Stand. Again, check us out on The Watchdog Tuesday and Friday for the long shows, Monday for the short one, watchdognetwork.com. You can reach out, check us out. You can find out all things going on high school football-wise. PineRoomStudios.com, at the Pine Room Studios on social media, BLS_PRP for all your Better's Last Stand picks. And that'll probably do it for us. Brownie House, get on over there now. YesBrownies.com, 20% off using promo code PineRoom. Got Mountain East odds up over at the track, win totals, all the college and pro teams that you want. So stop on over. If you want to play on apps, go for that. If you want to play in person, we're the place to come. So until next week, we shall see you. It's football is upon us. We got a full weekend of preseason games, college football less than 10 days away, high school football less than a week away. Hard to imagine. Ohio kicks off a week from Thursday, a week from last night, however you want to look at it. Nonetheless, the Pine Room is your place for all the comprehensive sports talk, whether it's Better's Last Stand or on the radio show. We got you covered, high school on the Watchdog Network as well. So we'll see you next week for show 97. Have a great weekend. Be safe and best of luck on your wagers.